And sad to say, there are people that I respect as people that believe in conservative values and patriotic people that I've kind of enjoyed, but they don't have it right on Israel. And I'm not prideful and condescending to these people and putting them down. I really would want to help them. Just like Awilda said, you know, she's thankful for the teaching. I think these people, if they are born again, some of them aren't, but if they are born again, they should be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where they should get the proper understanding and teaching on Israel. There are even believers that have the right view of the rapture as far as it being pre-wrath, post-trib. But they don't understand Israel. And if you don't understand Israel, you're going to really be confused. Now, some of you may have heard, I've heard a number of people that heard a debate between Senator Ted Cruz and former Fox News TV host Tucker Carlson. And I respect both of these men and appreciate them. How many heard about that debate? Okay, a few of you have. Well, it was all about Israel. And Ted Cruz said, you know, I was brought up in church, and I was taught that you're supposed to bless Israel and you'll be blessed, and to curse Israel and you'd be cursed. And so I'm glad that our president has sought to bless Israel and help them out in the war against Iran, the 12-day war. And Tucker Carlson said, well, what is Israel? And he began to ask these questions. Does that mean everything Israel does is right? Does that mean the government of Israel? And he was trying to confuse it. And Ted Cruz, you know, he couldn't come up with the chapter and the verses to explain from the Bible what he was trying to say. And I thought, you know what? He needs to be in a Bible-believing church himself and know what the Bible says about these things, because it talks about these things in the book of Genesis. And Ted Cruz is a senator. He knows a lot about what he knows about. He's expert on, but he needs to be in a Bible-believing church, and men of God need to be able to preach on what we're going to talk to you about this morning. I've been an avid student of the Bible ever since I got saved, and I've especially thought to study end-time Bible prophecy. And when I see people like Tucker Carlson, even Alex Jones, who I like to listen to for news, but he doesn't have it right on Israel. I hear of people like Steve Bannon, who I highly respect as a great patriot, and Candace Owen, who I'm not saying I'm particularly fond of right these days, but she doesn't have it right on Israel. And in the scripture that was read today that points to a time that's coming, it says, in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. If you don't see Israel in the Bible like you should, if you are kind of anti-Israel with the war with Iran and all of these things, you just have to understand that God says that the best foreign policy is to bless Israel. If you want to be blessed, you'll bless Israel. That doesn't mean they're perfect. That doesn't mean that Benjamin Netanyahu does everything right. I understand that they let the COVID shot go to everybody in Israel back in that day, and that was a bad thing. That was a wrong thing. You got that COVID shot? Let me just tell you today, that's a Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Peter Hotez way to depopulate the world and to kill the world and help kill my father. Even though I told my dad, don't take it, Dad. I warned a lot of other people, killed people in this church, I'm convinced. And they're going to try to do it again. In fact, the 4th of July, they want to launch Hotez, Gates, and all the rest of them. They want to launch another bioweapon. And they want people to take their jabs because they already have them prepared so they can kill more people. They killed millions with that. They didn't even allow for the treatment of ivermectin and the treatment. We had Ralph Tolley, who was dying in the hospital, and I begged the nurse, can we give him ivermectin? I talked to the family, and they said, talk to the nurse. She said, no, we're not permitted. We only can give him remdesivir. And we're actually rewarded for giving remdesivir, and we're not allowed to give ivermectin. And remdesivir caused renal failure in Africa for 50% of the people that was, and that was what Fauci backed, and Bill Gates. And my hope is that these people will be executed legally. They are worse than Hitler in the sense of killing people. And his henchman, Heinrich Himmler, who was a great mass murderer of the past. But I'm just saying that you have to understand Israel. And so it says in the Bible that Israel would be brought back from the nations. And here's what it says in Ezekiel 37, verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And that shaking started in Europe with the Dreyfus Affair and with the first Zionist Congress under Theodore Herzl in the 1800s, late 1800s. It said there was a shaking and bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews upon the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And they stood up and became a body. All these dry bones. And you know what that's a picture of? All these dry bones. That's a picture of the fact that because the Jewish nation, which God started and put together, they were offered the Messiah, who would be the king that would reign over the world from Jerusalem, and Jerusalem would be the head of the nations, because that's God's plan to bring the kingdom back to the world. But when King Jesus came and he offered himself as the Messiah king and he did the miracles, the Jewish people said, crucify him, crucify him. And they crucified him. And when they crucified him, he was paying for the sins of the world. He was the perfect lamb that was sacrificed, but he was also the king, and they were crucifying their king. In fact, they had over him a phrase that said, King of the Jews! King of the Jews! And he was, and he is, the King of the Jews. And yet the Jews, as a nation, do not accept him. And they did not accept him when he came the first time. And they still do not accept him. And what does that mean? That means that if you don't put your trust in Jesus, even if you're a Jew and you're from Israel, God's chosen nation, you'll still die and go to hell. And they rejected him. And so what did God do? That was around 30 A.D., and by 70 AD, the Roman armies came into Israel and they tore down the temple and didn't leave one stone upon the other. They destroyed Jerusalem. And the Jewish people, listen to me, were scattered all over the world in AD 70. And that continued on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, almost 2,000 years. And then in the late 1800s, there began to be a shaking of these dry bones. Nobody thought that Israel would ever come back. Mark Twain went there on a trip in the 1800s, early 1900s, and he said this place was malaria-filled. There looked like there was no hope for Israel ever to come back as a nation. But God had said it. And he said in Ezekiel 37, 7 and 8, that they're going to come back, and they're going to come back as God's people to their land, the promised land in Israel.
They talked about first going to Africa, but no, God led them back to Israel, back to that land that had been their land, back to Jerusalem that had been their capital. And I remember I got saved on June 16, 1967, and in June, just before I got saved, the Six-Day War took place, and Israel recaptured Jerusalem, the old city, and the Temple Mount. It's their capital. But there are many people that fight against the Jews being in Jerusalem. Interesting, different presidents of the United States said, oh yeah, Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel. We recognize it. But they refused to put the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. There's one president that did it. You know who that was? Donald Trump. Donald Trump put the embassy in Jerusalem. And Donald Trump is a Cyrus figure in Isaiah 44 and 45. And Donald Trump became the 45th president. Cyrus helped the Jews go back to Israel, go back to Jerusalem, and rebuild their temple. I believe there's more for Trump to do because he's a Cyrus figure. And in fact, there's a coin in Israel made with Donald Trump on one side and Cyrus on the other. And he's raised up to be a friend to Israel. Donald Trump was born on Harry Truman's birthday, or the time, the same year, birth year. And Harry Truman was the president of the United States that convinced the representative in the United States to vote for Israel to be accepted as a nation among nations of the world. And so May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation again amongst the nations of the world. So I'm just saying, anyone who doesn't recognize Jerusalem is Israel's capital, and that they have an unbreakable land contract with Almighty God that goes from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River in Iraq. Anyone who doesn't recognize that Israel has a land contract from the river of Egypt right up to Lebanon is ignorant. And that Israel right now, listen to me, just possesses a sliver of the land that God says is theirs. Now, Alex Jones has said, well, the Jewish people were condemned over and over again because of their sin. And he's right. But God said, I've made an unconditional promise that that land is theirs. Even if they sin and even if they fail me, God said that that land is theirs and they should have that land and possess that land. And yet there are people that don't recognize that. They don't see that. They don't understand that. And I'm thinking about Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. They don't see that. Israel just has a little part of their promised land. But you know what? 1948, all the Arabs, about 60 million Arabs, just a few Jews were there. And they said, oh, as soon as they become a nation, we're going to march on them and destroy them and take them out of that land. Get them out of there. We don't want them in the Middle East. Well, God put them in the Middle East. And they attacked. And guess who won the war? It was miraculous. Israel won the war. 1956, Israel won the war. 1967, in 6 days, Israel won the war. And guess what? They kept getting more of their promised land back. 1973, the Yom Kippur War, they attacked them on their holiest holiday, and it looked like they were going to be overrun, but no, Ariel Sharon and others won the battles, and God blessed them, and they got more and more of their land back. I'm here to tell you this morning that God brought Israel back to the promised land. God promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. He said to Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. Israel is a great nation. And it's through Isaac and then Jacob, his name was changed to what? Israel. He had 12 sons, and that makes the DNA for the 12 tribes of Israel. Get it, Tucker Carlson? Israel is a great nation. God has chosen it among the nations of the world. That's why Satan hates Israel. And the fact that Israel has been brought back to their land, the fact that they've been declared to be a nation among the nations of the world in May 14, 1948, the fact that they retook the old city of Jerusalem in June of 1967, the same year that I got saved, should tell you, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, that God chose Israel. You see, Satan hates Israel. By the way, that's where anti-Semitism comes from. A lot of people say, oh, I'm not anti-Semitic. If you're not for Israel and for what I'm talking about, you're anti-Semitic. Even if you don't hate them. Because you're not giving them the rightful place that God has. And you're not recognizing what Revelation 12 said, that there's a great warfare between God and Satan, and it's all over Israel. And over Israel's part. You see, when Adam came and God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Adam was appointed to be the mediatorial, Brother Bob, king of the world. That meant God owned the world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But Adam was to reign over it as his king. Eve was the queen. When Adam violated the law of God, which was one commandment, he ate of the wrong tree. When he did that, the kingdom was lost. And it was cursed. And it waits the kiss of the prince. But it was lost. Paradise lost. And God said, okay, I'm going to appoint a king to get back what Adam lost. And he's going to be the mediatorial king. And he's going to rule over the world. But in order to do that, in Genesis 12, I need to choose Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then David down the line. And from David is going to be born of David and Bathsheba's son, Nathan, is going to be born through Mary, the mother of Jesus, the king that will rule the world and take it away from Satan. Because when Adam lost it, who took it? Satan. Satan's the god of this world. But he's an angelic being. Man is made to rule this world. And God wants to give it back to man. And that's what Genesis is all about. And it was lost in Genesis. But that kingdom is restored in Revelation. When Jesus, who's from the house of David, God is his father. No human father. God is his father. But the mother was Mary. And he's a Jew. I said Jesus is a Jew. He's from the house of David. He's from the tribe of Judah. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And a lion represents a king. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to say, I thank God for Steve Bannon. He's a patriot. He's an American. He's a patriot. He's America first. Alex Jones, America first. Patriot. Some good people that are America first people. But I'm here to tell you today, the kingdom is not going to be restored by America. It's not going to be the capital in Washington, D.C. Russia's a great power, but it's not going to be Russia or Moscow. China's a great power, but it's not going to be China or Beijing. The capital of this world is going to be from the nation of Israel. And the capital will be Jerusalem. And guess what? That's called Zion in the Bible. Right. Alex Jones criticizes Zionists. I'm a Zionist. God is a Zionist. You say, what does that mean? Jesus is coming back to Israel. Jesus is coming back, and he, by the way, in Zechariah 12, if you read that in other scripture, it says he's going to come back to Edom, which right now is southern Jordan. You say, what's he doing down there in Edom? He's getting Jews out of hiding, because they're hiding from the beast. And then he goes into the wilderness of Judea and up to Mount Sinai and flattens it, and he takes more Jews that have been hiding from the beast. Just like the hiding place in World War II when they hid from the beast in his first coming. Adolf Hitler, by the way, I believe he's coming back, possibly cloned. But that's a whole other study. Jesus is going to be looking for Jews. And he says to the people, they haven't even been saved during the tribulation. But he says to the people when he comes back, you did it to the least of these. You did it to me. And he put them on his right hand. Then he opened their eyes. They get saved and go into the kingdom. But they're divided based on how they treated Jews during the tribulation. I'm just saying, people are going to be destroyed based on how they treat Jews in the future. I believe I want to bless Israel. I have a friend of our family. She called me. She's come to this church, and she has all kind of people in Israel. She's got my messages and put them to her family in Israel. It's been circulated in Israel, and she's coming. And she said, "You guys are like my family. I'm having a bar mitzvah for her oldest child." She said, "I just want you guys to be there, even if you can't be there physically. I want you to be there on a Zoom call." And she sent me information about it. She said, "I'm going to come by, and I want to come to your house and give you guys a hug and bring some food and all of that." I've witnessed to her many, many times about the Lord. And she told me something. She said, "You know what?" She said, "Randy," she said, "You know what?" She said, "I just found out something about my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was in the Holocaust. And she said she was hid by a Christian family. And that's why I'm here. And I survived because of a born-again Christian family hiding." She said, "I didn't know that until I asked my uncle to give me a history of our family because of the bar mitzvah of her child. And that's when this came out." And she said, "I've been thinking about it all day. I've been crying." And she said, "I wanted to call you guys because she remembered our family." I want to bless Israel. I want Israelite people to be saved. If an Israelite person gets saved today, they become part of Jesus, and they become part of the church that will be a church when Jesus comes back. They're equal with Jews and Gentiles. But in the kingdom, Israel is going to be saved before the kingdom as a whole nation when Jesus touches down on this earth after the end of the 70th week of Daniel, the 7 years, which is the last year of God's judgment of blindness upon the nation. And then he's going to gather them out. They're going to get saved as he goes marching to Jerusalem. And then when they come in Jerusalem, all the Jews, they're going to be ready for him this time. The first time they said, "Crucify him." This time they're going to say, "Behold David, the son of David, our Messiah." And they're going to get saved. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. I hope if you've never been saved, you put your faith in Jesus and you accept him as your Savior, because the Bible says that right now mostly Gentiles are getting saved, and they're supposed to provoke Jewish people to jealousy by what we have and the blessings that we have in our lives. You know what? The Bible talks about these things and about what's going to happen. And by the way, when you get saved, God brings you peace in your heart. But when Jesus comes back and all the Jews get saved, and make no mistake about it, Romans 11, 25 and 26 says that all Israel will be saved. You see, all these Jews over there right now, only one third are going to survive the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. That didn't take the mark. Only one third. But of that one third, every one of them is going to be saved. And when the Jews get saved, peace doesn't just come in their heart, but peace on earth, goodwill toward man will happen, because that's when Jesus will come back and sit on the throne in Zion, in Jerusalem, and rule the world. And Israel will be the head of the nations. That's what Zion is all about. He's going to rule from Zion. He's brought these people back in unbelief, but he's going to bring them to himself. And when they accept him, the whole world is going to be blessed. And when they rejected him, we got blessed, and I got blessed because the gospel went out to the world. How much more will we be blessed when Israel accepts their Messiah? You see, there are preachers today, they're good men even. They're good men. They have the right view of the rapture, but they don't talk about Israel like I'm talking about it. They just say, oh, Israel is a Zionist creation of the Rothschild. Israel is that. And they look at all the negative. And there are negative things. But since when can't God use evil to bring good about? Doesn't the Bible say that God used wicked men who willfully crucified him to bring a gift of salvation to us? Don't get your eyes on all of that. Keep your eyes on the prophetic word of God and what God is doing through the Jewish nation to bless the world. And that's why we bless Israel. And that's why I talk about Israel. Because, you see, I don't want you to stumble over Israel. I don't want you to be on the wrong side of that equation. I want you to understand what the word of God says. And the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. I like this war that Netanyahu prosecuted against Iran. We used to have a song, something about dun 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 Iran, bar 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 Iran. How many have ever heard that song? Bar bar bar. And they came up with a song, bomb, 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 Iran, bomb, 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 Iran. You know, Netanyahu called that Operation Rising Lion. And I thought about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when I saw that happening, I said, we're getting closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now you can bear me witness if you've been in this church. And he can bear me witness because you just looked up my sermons. I asked him to look for my sermons because I was looking for something. I've been preaching about a prophecy about Iran and a war, listen to me, against Iran for 15 years. 15 years ago. How many of you are under 15? You're under 15 years old. I've been preaching it for longer than you're alive. And his son is 16, Luke. And I remember Luke, his son, at about a five-year-old kid, coming to my office. And I had a big chart about Jesus coming back and all these prophecies that I'm talking to you about. And Luke just kept asking me questions. What was that about? What's that mean? What's that mean? And I went through it all with him. By the time an hour was up, he was kind of getting to the end of his questions. And I said, Luke, would you like to get saved by Jesus? And he said, yes, Pastor, I would. And he bowed his head and prayed to receive Christ. And now he's at a camp this summer with his sister, and they're counseling, and they're on staff, and they're working in Kentucky on staff, and they're going to family camp. They'll see him this week. But Luke, when he heard about this attack on Iran, he started telling all the guys in the camp, hey, this is in the Bible. This is getting ready for Bible prophet. And he went to Isaiah 49, verses 34 through 39. Would you know that? You know why he knows that? He's 16 years old. He's heard his pastor preaching about this prophecy about Iran for the last 15 years. Since he's been 1 year old. You know what? We need repetition so we can get things down. Because I'm telling you this morning, the prophecy that's on the parchment of the Word of God is now beginning to roll out onto the pavement of fulfillment. What's happening to Hezbollah and Israel defeating them up in Lebanon? What's happening to Hamas in the October 7, 2023, and the horrendous, terrible things they did just next to the Holocaust and Israel going back? I am telling you, Allah is going down. I don't believe in Allah. I believe in Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he didn't choose Ishmael to save the world. I believe Ishmael's in heaven. He got saved. He believed. But he's the big poopah of Allah and Islam. And let me just tell you something right now. He didn't choose Ishmael to have the Messiah. He chose Isaac and Jacob, not Ishmael and Esau. So you say, what should an Arab person do? Believe in the Jewish Messiah. What should a Gentile and a white person do? Believe in the Jewish Messiah. What should an African person do? Believe in the Jewish Messiah. Chinese, Japanese, Americanese. Believe in the Jewish Messiah. Kiss the Son, the Bible said, lest ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. He is angry at Iran. Get a clue, Alex Jones. Get a clue, it, Candace Owen, you anti-Semite, Roman Catholic. By the way, that's the problem. The Roman Catholics, Steve Bannon, the Roman Catholics, and I'm not downing people, but I'm just saying, the Roman Catholics have replaced Israel with the Catholic Church. Goes back to Augustine, the city of God. He wasn't talking about Jerusalem, he was talking about Rome. The city of God is not the Vatican. That's the city of pedophilia and all kind of junk. The city of God is Rome. I mean, it's Jerusalem. And let me tell you, Jerusalem needs to be cleaned up too. The Bible calls Jerusalem Sodom. God will tell you what's wrong. There's homosexuality over in Israel, and it has been in the past, and that's wrong. God's going to clean it up. By the way, if you got sin in your life and you're a child of God, God wants to clean you up today. And you say, how can I get cleaned up with this King James Bible, the old preaching of the Word of God, and by the blood of Jesus, confessing your sin, and get right with God today. God will speak to you, even though He loves you and you're His child. He'll speak to you because He doesn't love your sin. He doesn't want you walking in sin. And I encourage you to come out tonight, Wednesday night. Get into the Word of God. It'll help you. But what am I saying here? I'm going to conclude by saying that stop stumbling over Israel. Understand Bible prophecy and what is coming down in Bible prophecy. And I would like you to just turn to Jeremiah 49 in closing. Jeremiah 49. And I want to just make a few comments about what I believe is going to happen over here in Iran. How many have been watching this war in Iran? All right. And people say Trump shouldn't have bombed the nuclear sites in Iran. I beg to differ. And I'll tell you why. Go to Jeremiah 49, verse 34. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Here's a prophecy that's never been fulfilled to my knowledge. And it's talking about a place called Elam. Now, Elam is within a nation called Persia. How many have heard of Persia? Many of you have heard of Persia, but you've not heard of Elam. Persia is Iran. It was named Iran when it was formed in the 20th century. But it was Persia, and still they're Persians. But within Persia is Elam, and Elam is in the south and west of Iran and covers a great part of it, and it's where their nuclear development of their nuclear bombs is, especially Bashir is one of their main plants. They have others, and you've heard about them. And they have IBCM missile launchers over there as well. Now, I want you to notice that God said in Jeremiah 49, what I just read, verse 34, that he is what? Notice verse 34, God is what? Against Elam. You say, is God against the regime that's over there in present-day Iran? I believe God is against the regime. I believe God wants regime change. He's against the Ayatollah. I remember when they came in 1979, kicked out the Shah of Iran. God says, I'm against it. By the way, I'm not afraid to say I'm against drinking booze. Come Wednesday night if you want to hear me preach about that from the Bible. I'm against having sex outside of marriage called fornication. There's some things that we should be against and not be afraid to say we're against it. God said, I'm against this regime that has this nuclear program. And what are they doing? They're calling the United States the great Satan. They're calling Israel the little Satan. And they say, we want to bomb them. We want to get rid of them. Well, I take them at their word. Amen. God said, I'm against it. Then verse 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Now, in ancient times, the Elamites, listen to me, they launched their arrows with their bow. And when you break the bow, you break the ability to launch arrows. And they could have arrows with fire on them and launch them from a distance against their enemies. That's exactly what the modern day Elamites are doing. You know what their bows are? They're ICBM missile launchers. And their arrows are the missiles. And guess what's the chief of that might if they get a nuclear bomb? Listen, if they could put a nuclear bomb on those missiles, they can destroy Israel. And if they have long enough ones, they can shoot them and destroy you in the United States. God said, I'm against that. I'm against you being calling the United States the great Satan and Israel the little Satan and saying, we're going to get rid of you. We want you out of the Middle East. And what does God say he's going to do? Verse 35, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. Verse 36, upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. What's heaven? The sky. There are going to be airplanes. There's going to be four quarters. I will bring them upon Elam and will scatter them toward all those winds. And there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. In other words, God's saying there's going to be a bomb, 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 Iran. And it's going to destroy those nuclear sites, the chief of their might. And there's going to be some kind of disaster, nuclear disaster, that the people will not be able to stay there. And they'll have to go in a refugee crisis to every nation on earth. North, south, east, west. You say, that'd be horrible. No, it won't. Because there are a lot of believers in Iran. It's the fastest growing Christian place. And these people are waiting for this prophecy, some people to be fulfilled, so they can get out of there and get out from under this regime. I want to get on with it. They say they still have enriched uranium, even if we destroyed a lot of their stuff. And I believe there was substantial damage. They still have a lot of it. And they're bent to, you say, what are you talking about? They had heavy moving equipment right at Fordow, the site there, and they're working feverishly to try to develop their nuclear weapons. Do you think these people have changed? No, they haven't changed, because look what the Bible says in verse 37. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, plural, not just Israel. And before them that seek their life. By the way, did Israel remove the life of these scientists and these nuclear people? And did they not have the power to remove the life of the Ayatollah? Yeah, they knew right where he was. Donald Trump said, spare his life. And then he spouted out and said, we slapped the United States in the face. God says, I will bring evil upon them. Even my what? Fierce anger. God is angry with this regime over in Iran. I'm not talking about the people of Iran. In the main, I'm talking about this evil, satanic, Islamic regime. By the way, if you take the Quran literally, you'll kill people in the name of Allah, because jihad is all about killing people to convert them. That's not Christianity. You're free to reject what I preach here, accept it. But if you're wise, you'll accept Jesus Christ and come forward and get baptized and put on the uniform and say, I'm on God's team. That's what you'll do today. And then God said, I'll set my throne in Elam and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. In other words, regime change. God is going to do regime change. Donald Trump said, that's not politically correct, but I'm for it if the people want to do it. I'm for it if Israel wants to do it. I'm for it if Trump wants to do it. I'm for it. Regime change. These guys are evil and God's angry with what they're doing. I'm just saying, they hate Israel. You say, why do they hate Israel? Satan knows that when the Jewish nation accepts their Messiah, the kingdom of God comes to earth and Satan loses out and he's cast out into hell. Eventually, after being bound in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He doesn't want that. So what's his plan? Hitler had it in World War II. What was it called? The final solution. What was the final solution? He was more concerned not to beat Russia and not to beat the United States and Europe. He was more concerned to kill Jews, and he began to step up the killing of Jews even as he was losing World War II. And just before he died, by shooting himself in the head, a sword to the head, a military weapon, just like the Bible says about the beast. And he died and went to hell, and he may be coming back out of hell. It may be Hitler. But just before he died, his valet said, what do we do now, mein Führer? He said, look for the coming man. That's Hitler coming back. Child of Satan. And a Jewish Antichrist helping him. These people will be globalists. These people will be wicked people. I'm just saying to you, don't stumble over Israel. And let me say in conclusion, not only don't stumble over Israel, but here's the final verse I want to give you. Don't stumble over the Messiah of Israel. The Bible says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, or why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. My daughter Brooke is here. She was telling me that when she was a little girl, she just realized she was afraid to die, go to hell. And I said to my wife, you got to help her. Talk to her. My wife talked to her and she showed her the Bible. And she finally, she said, my problem is I just can't believe. I just can't believe. It sounds too good to be true. That all my sins could be forgiven, that I could go to heaven just by believing in the Messiah, Jesus, who died and rose again. But then my wife said, read this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him, whether you're Jew or Chinese or African or American, whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That means die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. And there she saw it, and she could believe. She felt like, I can believe. I can trust the word of God. That's what the Jews stumbled over. That's why they went to hell. So many of them. Why? Because they were trying to get to heaven because they thought, we're better than other people because we have the Bible. We have the Ten Commandments. We're special. And they thought by keeping them and doing them, we're going to get... Listen, some of you may feel like that because you've been brought up in church or you know about the Bible. No, that's not going to save you. You have to come to Jesus just as you are, a sinner that deserves to go to hell, and believe his promise that if you put your faith in him, all your sins will be paid for. And you will go to heaven as a free gift and live forever. I know I'm going to live forever. Not because I deserve it. You say, how sure are you? 100%. You say, how can you be 100%? Because Jesus had no sin and no failure in what he did. And my faith is in Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Would you do that today? If you haven't done it, don't die and go to hell by trying to be good to get to heaven. Put your faith in Jesus, which is the Jewish Messiah. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a simple question. I have that testimony.